You're listening to.
You're listening to.
You're listening to.
You're listening to. Sci-Fi Nick.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Sci-Fi Dig. Now, those of you that have been around for a while listening to the show know that that intro is from a long time ago. Actually, I believe it's from 2010, way back when. I started the show in 2005, faded for a while, let it fly for a while, and then I really wanted an opportunity to sit down and record the show this way with the computer and editing software and getting things the way I wanted it and having the opportunity to have co-hosts on where before with my schedule, that was not a thing that was ever going to happen because my days were off for Monday and Tuesday. That was my weekend and nobody else is off that time. And by the time everybody got home from work and were able to record, well, that was family time for me. So, but now the kids are in college and Mondays are free, and it's kind of I think it's a nice break for both I and my wife that I come down here in my little nook and record a show with somebody, and she gets some reading time, nice and quiet, and can focus on that. And so when I came back to do the show, when I was thinking it over and whether or not I wanted to come back and do it, and I finally had a computer that can handle it and everything because the other one was quite dated, I decided that, I wanted to do a show where I could have a co-host on occasionally. And, ideally, it's nice to have revolving co-hosts or co-hosts that, two people that are hosting a show that know one another and you can get the chemistry going and, kind of play off one another. But I also still wanted to do some single host shows because that's what this was all built on. And with that in mind, I wanted to make sure that I could still do that. So that's what this attempt is to make sure that I can still do that. Because in the past, I've done breakdowns of, did the entire series of Babylon 5 episodic breakdowns, which took a heck of a lot of work. I've done, multiple shows like that. And, some of the things I used to cover, like DVD releases and news and stuff like that, most people now, it's all in an aggregator somewhere because there's a million news sites. DVD releases, although they're important to me, are not really important to a lot of people who do streaming because a lot of the streaming things come out a week or 2 weeks before the DVD is released. So news things like that are no longer as important as they once were. Sci-Fi Dig initially was short for Sci-Fi Digest, where the idea was to get the science fiction news together that was important to me and share it with the community and hopefully cause some discussion. And that's, in the past, that is what has happened. And so right now, I was like, well, I want to do a... just see if I can pull this off. So I need some feedback on this show and what everybody thinks. And also anybody who wants to submit questions about anything out there, feel free to shoot them my way. Questions, opinions, you can do it. You can either email me at sci-fi-dig@gmail.com or you can do the Google group thing. Facebook is still a viable alternative. I don't spend a lot of time on there anymore. I try to keep up with family matters and I try to check the Sci-Fi Dig page several times a week, but, email and the Google group and, you can Facebook message me because, that's cool, and if anybody out there uses Telegram, that's my app of choice for communication. A lot of people use WhatsApp, but, Telegram, I feel is a little superior and works better for me. But anyway, with that being said, what made this, me start thinking about what I wanted to talk about this week, it's kind of a funny story. And that is that, I talk with a few friends and we kind of, different friends watch different shows and we kind of, say, hey man, don't forget this show's coming up or this show's coming up, and again, and we also live in a world now where there's a lot of cord cutters. People don't have cable or they don't have satellite or, everybody has different ways of watching stuff. So there's a plethora of shows out there that are not only sometimes not available to everybody else, but because of that, because if you don't have cable TV, you're not turning on to see what's currently airing today for the first time. You have Hulu and Netflix that have their own originals programming. You have places like that that also have shows that are older that people are just now getting an opportunity to watch because they're cord cutters, so they're watching some older stuff and getting caught up in all that. I don't know if we live in a society of a water cooler show anymore. I think Game of Thrones is probably the last bastion of that. And I think that the reason that that works so well is not only can people get it, you know, through cable or satellite, but you can also buy the HBO Now app if you have none of those and just watch everything, you know, for the $10 a month they charge and be able to get all the original programming that they have. And so you can still, everybody can still be at the same timetable, you know, when it comes to these things. So therefore, it's still a water cooler show. But during the course of a conversation with some of my friends, we were talking about the upcoming show Legion. And, you know, I had more than one person say, hey, you know, Legion starts is coming up at, you know, this weekend. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I need to go and I need to set my DVR for that. So I did not know what station Legion was on. You can do a search, find it, and then set it up to record, which is what I did. Well, in the process of doing that, I was like, well, I better look down through my, because your DVR, like through DirecTV, only has so many, can only hold so many series. You know, you can only have so many series in your series manager. You can only have, I think it's 50. And if you have 51 series, something has to be deleted, which normally isn't a problem or didn't used to be a problem. But now when you have shows that overlap, so like you have shows that might only be on for 4 or 5 months, you know, and then after that same time slot is taken up by something else. So rather than having one series that would run all year, you'd have two. And so it builds up pretty quick, you know, even though you might have, you know, 50 series in there, there might only be like 10 or 12 on at any given time. So, you know, you have to remember to go back. And the thing is with DVR, it makes you incredibly lazy because once you set up a timer, you don't want to go back. You never have to worry about missing anything because it's always going to catch it. I mean, very, very rarely do I watch live TV. I watch recorded TV because I just kind of record everything. And I work afternoons and evenings, so the recorder usually fills up pretty fast because my TV watching time is usually I get an opportunity when I come home from work, and then usually on Mondays or Tuesdays, if I get a chance, I'll watch several shows. I feel accomplished sometimes when like all the best, like I have like my top five favorites. If I can save them up and I can watch like three of them in one night, I feel like I've accomplished something, which is horrible because I'm just sitting there while I do it. But you know, I do enjoy watching it, so maybe not so horrible. But anyway, during the course of this, I better check my series. I want to make sure that Legion's at the top of the list so nothing else preempts it and there's no conflicts or anything. I started going down through the series manager and seeing what was there. And I have probably 45 series set to record, you know, at some point in time. I mean, granted, a lot of those aren't airing right now, but there's a lot of them. And I was like, well, I wonder how many of these are currently airing. Now, I can say this is probably a huge mistake on my part when I realize exactly how many things are on a regular basis that I'm trying to watch. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is a lot of time. Luckily, right now in the wintertime, some of the days have been pretty rough. And those of you that follow me on various social media, and those of you that know me know that I'm a runner. And so I run 5 days a week, and then 2 days a week I try to walk because I'm trying to train and I can't run every day because it's hell on your legs. So if it's bad out, I try to elliptical as my other course of action, which in order to elliptical and not be bored to tears, you have to have something decent on television. So I try to save the really action-packed ones that kind of grab you and go for those points in time. So it's not too terrible because you figure in an average week, if I can get two runs in outside and 3 days a week I have to elliptical, that's three television shows I get to knock out. So start going down through my list. These are a series of science fiction and genre-related shows. I skipped anything that might be like comedy because I do try to record stuff for the other. I mean, other people live here too, and I guess that I can allow them to watch some stuff maybe. But these are just the shows that like I personally record that I watch, and there's a lot of them. This is what's on right now or has just ended. Incorporated on Sci-Fi is something that I've really been enjoying, and it is a show about you living in a world where you have the red zone and the green zone. The green zone is the more wealthy people that have everything that they need. And the idea is to make their way up the literally corporate ladder, corporate tower. They try to move up in levels in the tower, and higher up they get, the more power they have, the more it's not just, it's actually more freedom as well. And it is about a person who is in the red zone who's managed to break into the green zone and become a cog in the machine and slowly working his way up the ladder. The point of this is there's somebody that he knows from his youth that he's trying to track down from the red zone, and he's kind of living a lie. So it's kind of like that whole living on edge thing, because you never know when you're going to be exposed. Something I'm really enjoying, there's actually the last episode is still on my DVR. I have not had the opportunity to watch it, but I will. Emerald City. I believe this is NBC. NBC? I think it's NBC. And this is a whole new take on The Wizard of Oz. And Dorothy comes back. She gets caught up in a tornado and ends up in the Land of Oz. And it's a lot of political things going on. And we have our different incarnations of, you know, all the famous characters, the Tin Man, and things like that. And it's all about politics and trying to run this and, you know, run the Emerald City and, you know, Dorothy's quest. This show's kind of hit or miss for me. There's some episodes that I find rather interesting, and there's some episodes that I feel get kind of bogged down, that even though we're trying to do character development, it just sometimes it misfires and it kind of slows to a crawl for me. This is going to be one of those shows where probably at some point in time I'm going to regret that I didn't pay close enough attention. There's been times when it's been on and my attention has wandered to something else, and I'm just kind of watching it in the background. And I don't think it's a show you can watch in the background. I think it's a show you have to pay attention to all the different characters that are coming on, because there's a lot of them. But with that being said, it's definitely worth a watch. And I think that some of these shows I'm probably going to go back and at some point in time and be like, you know, I'll get to the end of it. I'll be like, man, that was a great cliffhanger, and I'm a little lost. I'm going to go back and rewatch it again, you know? So, you know, there's that. That happens to me sometimes. The new show on, I believe, ABC? Maybe? No? No, I can't remember what station these are on. It's Powerless. Half-hour comedy. This is a fairly new show, and it is... I'm kind of enjoying it. It's you know, reminds me a whole lot of Better Off Ted, which if you haven't seen Better Off Ted, I do believe it's available on Netflix, and it's something that I highly recommend. It's a very quirky, funny show, but basically you have people working at Wayne Tech, and their whole point of existence, these scientists, are trying to find ways for to make things for the average citizen to survive the things that happen when superheroes fight. And, you know, they have, you know, one of the things is like an umbrella that you can pop open and keep rubble. It's strong and it deflects rubble so it doesn't kill you, things like that. And you have a character who is new, and she comes in, and her job is to manage these scientists. And, you know, she's kind of more grounded and wants to do a very good job and you know, excel at what she does. Maybe not so much climbing the corporate ladder, but doing a good job. She has a lot of kind of like a goody two shoes in some ways, where she just really wants to she wants to do well, and she wants people to be happy with what's happening. But she's put in charge of these quirky scientists, and they have a lot of quirks, and she's trying to work around them. Very much like Better Off Ted, which is kind of exactly what that show is, minus, you know, the Wayne Tech building, minus being able to mention all these DC superheroes. It's growing on me. It's kind of had a slow build, and it's something that, you know, right now there's been two episodes. I've watched both of them. If I missed them, it wouldn't have been the end of the world, but I kind of enjoy it. I kind of enjoy having a comedy in the list that I can sit back and watch. Now, you know, one of the shows that is not on the list here, and I should probably mention when I'm thinking of comedies, is I do watch Big Bang Theory. But with Big Bang Theory, for me right now, we're at the point now where it's kind of hit or miss. And so there's times when there may be two or three to build up on DVR, and I will just delete them rather than watch them. Or I'll watch it in the background, because it does have its funny moments, but it's just kind of there. I neither hate to miss it or hate the show. It's just kind of there. It used to be really funny at the beginning, but I think it's starting to kind of get long in the tooth, and some of the quirkiness and some of the funny moments have kind of been beaten to death at this point. And that's just my opinion, of course, you know. So I wanted to mention that. Timeless is another show, and again, horrible about the networks, just absolutely horrible about what network they're on. Timeless is a show that I had missed the first episode because there were a couple time travel shows that were coming out, and I wasn't sure how I felt about them. And I'm like, well, you know, I just kind of like let it slide. Well, then somebody was like, hey, the first episode was really good. And I was like, ugh. So I went back and they showed it again. So I started recording the series. And for a while, this was my elliptical show, because when it was warmer out and I could run every day, I would still elliptical on Sunday nights. So when I would come home, I would put this on. And so I could pay close attention to what was happening in the character development. This is a show that's really grown on me. I did not think that I would love a time travel show or enjoy one as much as I'm enjoying this. I mean, I like a time travel show. I get kind of tired of the looping back and forward. But what makes Timeless unique, what really sold me and made me want to come back and watch this over and over again, is that the people that go in the time machine. I guess I need to set this up a little bit. You know, I'm trying to do this as spoiler-free as possible. Basically, any information I'm giving you is something that happens in the first episode to try to get you to check them out. There's a time machine. There's two time machines. The better time machine, somebody steals. And so therefore, a history professor and somebody who was in the military and somebody who can pilot the time ship are brought together and put on this. It's like a rescue time ship. The time ship, by the way, are really cool. That was one of the things that drew me in, because it was unique the way that they worked. It's like a sphere, but it has like these tracks and ridges that go around it that spin, that take it through time. And so they're trying to track down the other ship and the person piloting it, who is quote unquote evil. And he's trying to change things in history, and we're not quite sure why he's doing that. Now, what sold me on this is in the beginning, they do something, they go back in history and something changes, and the main character, the history professor, has a sister. And when she comes back, she's a sister and her mother. Her mother dies of cancer. Or is dying of cancer. And, you know, her and her sister are real tight. When she comes back, her mother's alive and well, but her sister was never conceived. And naturally, I thought what's going to happen is they're going to go back in time and fix that. You know, when we start down that whole muddled road of, well, you know, we messed this up and I got to go back and fix this. It's going to mess something up. And it's going to be like a big circular thing. And I just don't have the patience for that, because it's a story that's going nowhere. It's very self-involved, and it's just not something that I'm interested in. I'm not saying it's not good. It's just not for me. But instead, they just took it all in stride. They come back. They say what history used to be. The people in the institute that are, running all this, they know history as it is now, but they understand what's going on, and you know, they make notations saying this happened, this happened, this happened, but now this is the timeline. Now, I found it interesting that they would go and they would change time and they would just leave it like that, because they can't go back and muddle it up more. And for me, that's kind of unique in a time travel show, because they fixed the bigger issue for the most part. But it's just all the minor things that they just kind of have to leave, because they don't want to screw up history any more than they already have. And I thought that was something different that I hadn't seen before. So I kind of got sucked into it. Over the course of the first three or four episodes, there's that whole like political undertone, the whole people spying on people, and the bigger story being uncovered for our characters. And I really enjoyed it. And I'm really enjoying what they're doing and touching on some of these historical things that also kind of make me curious. They touched on most of the topics they've hit on, I knew enough about. But it's interesting to see their take on them, and maybe making me want to Google something here and there and find out the real story behind it. So obviously kind of increasing my knowledge as well. So I kind of like what they've done there, and inadvertently got sucked into watching this show. Legion, which started this whole list, or putting this together, just aired on FX. I don't want to give away too many spoilers. I will say that the first episode was an hour and a half, and clearly it's a double episode that they removed some commercials out of so that they can fit in a 90-minute time slot. Very cerebral in the beginning, and it's not until clear at the end of the first episode that we start getting some action and things start to pay off and we start to have a little bit of understanding of what's going on. Now, I will say that I'm still a little bit lost, and I pay close attention to what was going on, but I'm still a little bit lost about exactly what's happening, what's real and what's not real. This is one of those shows that I'll give several episodes, but you know, I like a cerebral show as much as the next person, but I need it to have, it has to have good pacing. And it just seems that right now, the first couple episodes, which, well, the first episode, which is 90 minutes, did not have the best of pacing. And I found parts of it to be kind of slow and boring. And I just, if I wasn't trying to pay close attention so I could follow these characters, I probably would have started doing something else and then been completely lost. But I'll give it a few more episodes to see where it goes. I'm kind of enjoying that. Legends of Tomorrow, which, you know, obviously any of the DC comic shows, any of the comic shows, I'm going to give a shot because I'm a huge comic lover. Legends of Tomorrow, the first season was kind of a mess for me. It was very hit or miss. It was like if they had a decent episode, it wasn't the best episode, but it kept my attention. But if they had a boring episode, it was horribly boring. The problem was is that there wasn't enough chemistry with these characters in the beginning. And I felt that since the majority of these characters had been introduced to us on other shows, you know, most of the characters, I think just about all the characters had been introduced on The Flash or Arrow. So we already knew them. We already knew their backstory. We didn't have to spend time doing an origin, that this show should have been off and running, because the you know, the first episode of anything, setting up the world and setting up the characters, is usually can be kind of boring because there's no real development there. It's kind of an info dump. And I felt as though they squandered those first couple episodes because I just did not care. There was no chemistry between the characters. I did not care about any of the characters. Nothing felt as though we had to hurry up and do this or do that because it was kind of going nowhere fast for me. You know, I stuck with the first season. The second season got started to get much better, and I'm starting to get kind of hooked on it now. I kind of like what they're doing. It seems as though their mission has been more refined. This is one of those shows where everything else is kind of coming together. Like all the other characters from the other shows are popping up on this show, and because the fact that it once again, it is also a time travel show. You have that opportunity to see all these different characters, and I find that kind of interesting that they're able to do that. But considering that the wealth of material they can draw from, I just thought that it would be better than what it is. Sticking with it, you know, it's part of that whole DC universe that I'm digging, but if I had to cut one of these shows, it could be this show because there's just not, it's just kind of a slow pacing. The pacing is there is kind of off. Although the last couple episodes have had enough to keep me interested and had some really good characters and also had a lot of action. I think that the best thing that they could have done is they've added the character of Vixen to the mix. And just a great character and a great, those of you that don't know who Vixen is, she has a totem where she can draw on the power of various animals and get their abilities. And the way that they do that, the way that they show that in the show is very, very well done. I really like what they've done there. Like if she's going to pull on the strength of an elephant, there will be like a white silhouette of an elephant around her body and showing what animal she has drawn upon. And then we know what strengths or weaknesses she's going to have. And they just do it really well. And also she's been one of the more interesting characters, mainly because she's from the JSA, and so she has not seen the future, and she's, you know, she comes from the 40s, you know, and the 30s and 40s, and therefore it's interesting, you know, what they've done with that. And that is, to me, that's one of the saving graces of the show, and one of the reasons it keeps me coming back week after week for that character and what they've done with it. Another show that is, this is a combo, is The Arrow and The Flash. Both these shows are, you know, they're in repeat seasons. You know, we are, I think Flash is in season 3 and Arrow is in season 5 or 6. Now, Arrow had kind of a rough start. You know, the season 1 was pretty decent, but it has a lot of hit or miss. Pacing was kind of a bit off. And I think that they didn't quite have the mythology worked out the way they wanted it to, but I stuck with it. We've had some seasons where it's like, oh my God, this is so boring and too angsty for me. But now we're kind of getting into what, you know, some of the comic related things, you know, where Oliver is the mayor and, you know, he's trying to do what's right for the city. And, you know, we have other characters who've come into play and, I'm really enjoying it for the most part. Again, this show can be kind of hit or miss, but I'm sticking with it because it's a DC show. I like the character. The episodes that are good are very well done and really suck me in. There hasn't been any horrible episodes, but there's been some that's been really slow. And like I can only take so much of the angsty stuff or so much of the whole, you know, love thing, the love triangles or we used to be a couple, now we no longer are, and there's going to be this friction every time we're together and blah, blah, blah. It gets kind of old, you know, CW show. The other show, however, which I think is, there has not been a bad episode yet, as far as I'm concerned, is The Flash. I love this show. They did a really good job right from the get-go of developing these characters, a really good job of having the characters have this great chemistry, this great dynamic together, playing very well off of one another. The show has just been, it's my must-see show. I mean, I really have, this is the show that, like, I the day that it's on, I usually don't watch it in real time, but as soon as I can sit down and start watching it, this is the first one on my list to watch on Tuesdays. Also a CW show. Just love this show. And even though it's at the top, there is another show that is slowly worming its way a little bit above that, and I'll get to that momentarily. Gotham. Really enjoying this show on Fox. There has been a couple of slow seasons where I feel as though the overall story was just kind of meh. I know that a lot of people want more Batman in the show. I would be perfectly happy if they never, ever, ever had introduced Bruce Wayne for more than a couple of episodes. I've always felt that Gotham should have been more like, you know, the Gotham PD comic book, where it's just about the police force. I wish they would have focused more on that. I think as time goes on, we get more and more away from the police force and doing the things that the police force do and more into everybody's personal thing and all the metahumans and what's happening there, which is fine, but it's not really how the show started. And I feel as though it wasn't an organic development into that. I feel as though it was like really kind of out of left field that suddenly we started having all these metahumans pop up or people with these abilities. And, you know, the introduction of this character who's supposed to be the Joker, you know, or acts just like the Joker, but it's not the Joker. I think that I don't know. I just kind of think that character's silly. And I think that they should just stay away from that. I know people got to do what they got to do for ratings, but again, you know, as much as I enjoy this show and I love the lead character who plays Jim Gordon, I think he does a fantastic job, and I think he chews up the scenery whenever he's on screen. And anytime we're dealing with him and his personal mission whether it's for the episode or for the moment, I get sucked back in. If I had to cut a show, this would be one of the first that I wouldn't have any qualms about not watching any more episodes about. I mean, I like it when I see it, but if it's going to be a Batman show, there's not enough Batman. If it's going to be a show that is not about Batman, there's too much Batman. They just haven't really found, it's not really what I was looking for in a show. I really thought this was going to be about Gotham, about the city. We would learn about the city, what makes it tick, all the players except for Batman. And we had Bruce Wayne in the beginning, you know, the first episode, his parents die, you know, we get to see that again. And, maybe see touch back with him once in a while and see what makes him become the Batman. And we already know the background of the entire city and how he's going to work. That's what I thought this show was going to be. And it's not quite that, you know. It's a decent show, but it's just not quite what I was looking for. It's kind of like it's never committed to one thing or the other. It's kind of floating in limbo, and that's just kind of how I feel about it. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Man, the first season was pretty good. Had a few problems. Second season, man, it lost its way. I felt that it was just like, I would watch it, and I'm glad I stuck with it, but it was just like, man, it was kind of boring and kind of going nowhere fast. And this current season has been absolute kick ass. I have been enjoying everything that's been going on. We finally have a team of people who we've developed enough that, you know, we care about them. We know what their abilities are. We know what's going on. There's been enough intrigue and enough things happening to make everything come together. You know, Joss Whedon's involved. I thought with him being involved, this would be more like the storytelling of Buffy and Angel and even Firefly. And you see that some episodes, but I'm wondering if part of the problem is because it is a Marvel property and there's only so much he's going to be able to do that he can't completely commit to doing certain things. But right now I'm loving the show. This is a show that I never thought that I'd be like, man, I can't wait to see that till next week. But it really is growing on me, and I enjoy what's going on right now. And I hope that it keeps this pace, and I hope it keeps this identity and stops trying so hard to tie into the rest of the Marvel universe. It needs to be more independent. They need to let this show be its own thing. And if you have to have some ties, you can occupy the same universe, but right now it's kind of doing that. It's occupying the same universe, but it has its own set of problems, and we're not dealing with, you know, the Winter Soldier, or we're dealing with the Avengers or any of that stuff. We're dealing with our own things going on here. A lot of great action, and the character development is finally there. Some of these characters have been so slow to grow and so slow to find out or to show us who they are that I was just like, man, these people are just, I couldn't relate to them at all, but now we're getting to a point where it's all working for me. The 100, this was a show that I'd missed the first season. I ended up buying it on DVD. I think I ended up getting it for like dirt cheap on Amazon. And I kind of want to watch this. I'm intrigued. I was reading some things about it. It seemed like something I wanted to check out. And so I started recording season two. When I bought season one, season two had just been like, it's like three episodes in. So I just had my DVR record every episode. And then I had to go to IMDb and watch them, get all the episode names and watch them in order so that I knew what was what. Love season one and two. Man, it was really a good show. It's a show about, you know, the Earth is radioactive and other people are living on a space station. And we get to the point where the space station can no longer support the number of people that they have. So what they do, again, this is all first episode stuff, is they have all these young people that have committed crimes and are in, you know, jail, as it were. And so they can't kill them. They don't want to kill them. So what they do is they send them back to Earth. And if they live, then great. Problem solved. If they die, well, they're criminals anyway. No big deal. Well, what happens is they come to Earth and they have to, they basically kind of clear the way for other members of the station to come down. That first season is a great political show where you have people that they're able to contact the station, and the station's trying to armchair quarterback everything these guys are doing. And, you know, they're basically like, we're here, we're living this, we're in danger, we're doing what we got to do to survive. And you're trying to tell us to do this, that, and the other, and it's just not really working out for us. So first couple seasons were really good. Season three kind of got convoluted. I had a lot of problems with it. The pacing was off. We were introducing too many characters. The drive behind the characters wasn't quite clear. The mythology of the different clans and tribes and things on Earth, I didn't feel was fleshed out well enough. I thought we should have had more episodes with just those people so we knew where they were coming from, what their drive was. This season, I'm enjoying it. We're kind of getting back to it a little bit and getting back to our main characters, and they have all gone through a lot of things, and so therefore they've changed a lot, and they have a different sense of purpose now. They've had, you know, a lot of good and bad things happen to them that have changed them as characters, and it seems as though we kind of forgot about that, but this season we're kind of back focusing on that. Now, we're only a couple episodes into this season. I hope it stays like that so we can see who these characters are going to become, because they're ever-changing, and with all the bad things that have happened, I want to see what's going to, you know, once you make a bad choice, and then you realize it was a bad choice, what do you do to compensate for that and, you know, change who you are? And that's, and I'm kind of enjoying what's happening there. The Expanse. Wow. This show is easily in my top five favorite shows. This is a science fiction fan's dream, this show. I've read the first three books of this. I read it after I watched the first season. It sticks close to the books in a lot of places. But there are some things that are still, we haven't gotten there yet. But there are some things, some characters that are different and that maybe we'll get there, maybe we won't. We'll see what happens. Season one was something where I watched the first couple episodes and then by the time the third episode rolled around, I'm not sure what happened. I started to not pay attention as well as I should, and I got lost. And I'm like, okay, this seems like a show that's all me. So I ended up DVRing all the shows. And then I remember one day we had a really bad storm and I really couldn't do anything. So I sat down and watched like three episodes in a row and had my full concentration, and I just fell in love. Just a great show, very political, a lot of different factions. You have an Earth faction, a Mars faction, a Belter faction, a lot of stuff going on. I don't even know how to begin to give a synopsis of this show. It's unique. I haven't seen anything like it. Season two just started. We're a couple of episodes in, and I'm all in on this show. This is a show. I mean, if you're going to watch, if you have time to watch one show and you like something that has political intrigue, has somewhat cerebral, and has great characters who take several episodes to really get fleshed out, and you don't mind slow pacing, but it's a good pacing. The pacing is right. It's just slow, as opposed to pacing that's irregular. This has good pacing and great character development, but it does take a full season to you see where these characters are going and what they're made of. This is the show for you. I cannot recommend this show enough. This is on Sci-Fi, and I believe that season one is available on Amazon Prime, and I also believe it might be on, might be available on Netflix. It was available on one of the streaming services the first season, and season two is up now. So now's a good time to jump on. If you start watching season one, then you go through the normal waiting period, and then when season three gets ready to start up on Sci-Fi, you can catch on season two, just be a season behind. But that's the way a lot of people are watching things now. Can't recommend the books enough. Really good stuff. But I will tell you this, don't read the books until you watch the show, because the books, obviously a book has more detail in these characters. But I think that if you read the books and the show is, you're going to kind of know more about what's going to happen before it happens. And I think that the people, the actors playing these characters do a really good job of kind of making them their own while sticking with what has molded them, you know. And you read more about that in the books than you do on the show, but they do a really good job on the show. Cannot recommend this show or the books enough. And unfortunately, right now, I don't have the books in front of me to remember the author. That's horrible, but I'm really horrible with author names. And that's the one thing with the way we are surrounded by all this content now. There's so much of it. And you know, like, I can't remember the name of all the books. I just know it's the Expanse series. And that's horrible, because it's just like, you know what you want to read and you go after it, but you don't remember the little details. And but check it out. You're going to enjoy it. Lucifer. This is a show that, you know, got a lot of, and there's a lot of weird people complaining about it because it was about Lucifer. I don't know. I don't live in that world. Anyway, based on a comic series from DC. Again, DC is like, they might not make the best movies, but they certainly make some darn good TV shows. This show is about, you know, the devil, obviously. He gets tired of being in charge of hell. So he just basically says, I'm going to take a holiday. That's going to take a very long time. And he doesn't want the job anymore. He doesn't want to be in charge of hell anymore. So he comes and he's like, he runs into a cop and they solve crimes. And he is absolutely hilarious is what he is. Just a funny, funny fella. And that is what makes this show work. The character of Lucifer and the actor playing Lucifer is what makes this show work. Now, I'll be the first one to say that I watched almost entirety of season one, and then I skipped like the last four episodes just because there was so much to watch, and I'm like, well, I'll get back to this at a later point in time. Well, my wife, who's not a TV watcher, started to enjoy the show, So this became like a thing for a little while. Now we're starting to get behind on our episodes again, but we sat down one night and we were the only ones home, which almost never happens. And we watched like 3 episodes in a row, which is something we haven't done. We haven't watched 3 episodes of any show in a row since Firefly came out on DVD. She's more of a reader than a TV watcher, but we just both love the show. The character just cracks us up. Go check it out. It's kind of unique. I will say that Lucifer is much more hilarious in season 2 than he is in season 1, but you have to remember with season 1, they're building the world. They're building all the other characters. And, it really does pay off in season 2. It's just right now it's really they're really doing a good job with the show. And I'm glad that I started watching it again, because it doesn't get too serious. It has its own mythology. They have their own problems. It has its own bigger story arc, but the episode by episode is just so much fun that you don't walk away going, man, I wonder what this is going to mean later on. You're just like, man, that was a really good episode. You know, that was a funny show. It was an intricate and quirky crime that happened, and why they did this was, you know, kind of humorous. Okay. Supergirl. Supergirl started out on CBS, and I did enjoy it. I like the take on they were doing with the show. I like the fact that the characters they introduced and the interaction, and they did a fantastic job with season 1 with building the characters. And it was one of those shows that, I don't know, I need to come up with a better term than light and fluffy. Okay. But that's what I term these shows. And it seems like it's derogatory, but it's not, because a lot of the shows now, because of how people tend to binge watch, more than ever, shows are serialized and they very much connect to one another, and you have to see all the episodes. To me, like a light and fluffy show is something that you can watch and you can walk away from. You were entertained for the time that it was on. You might have a few thoughts about it. There were some great scenes that caught your imagination, or thought, man, that was a good fight scene, or that was this, or why didn't they do this, or this didn't make sense, or, you know, you just kind of think about it a little bit, but not a big deal, you know, and you move on with your day. With Supergirl, I was really enjoying it, and it was getting a lot of hate. I never didn't know why, but I really enjoyed it. Well, then they were like, well, you know, it's going to get canceled, and then the CW picked it up, and then they were like, well, you know, the CW doesn't have the budget that CBS did. It's going to be a lesser budget, and I thought, well, here we go, you know, they're going to destroy the show because they're not going to put the money into it. And man, have I been surprised. This season of Supergirl has been better than anything I ever expected. The character development continues. They even had a crossover event, which I didn't really care about. They had the first time the Flash crossed over in Supergirl, I really enjoyed it. When they did the crossover event that crossed over all the shows, it was just okay. I mean, the event overall was weak, and it made all the rest of the shows the weakest of the ones out there to watch. Even Legends of Tomorrow was horrible. I did not like it, and it just did not catch my attention. I can't even tell you what happened. I was just so bored. I'm like, yeah, this is really doing it for me. Sometimes something looks good on paper, and then when you put it all together, it's just meh. But the best dynamic, I think, is between Barry Allen and Supergirl. I think that they do a really good job with, you know, their back and forth. They're both new heroes. Both those characters have that good heart and the best of intentions. And I think that they play very well off of one another. And I really enjoyed what they did there. This is the one show that I watch and I come away feeling... Usually, you know, puts you in a happy mood, and I'm right now, the character development and interaction, what they're doing, is making me enjoy this. There are certain times I enjoy this more than Flash. That's a big deal to me, because Flash is my guy. It's my guy, and it's like one of my favorite comic book characters. And so I had a bias when I started watching the show, but now that I'm into the show, man, I just love that show so much. And I was really surprised. I was starting to enjoy Supergirl as much, and sometimes even more than the Flash. They've done a really good job. And like I said, what sells both Supergirl and The Flash is the interaction between the characters, not just their development, but every episode has a story, and the characters serve the story. The story doesn't serve the characters. And the interaction between the characters, you honestly believe that the people that are friends, the people that aren't friends and don't like one another or are enemies, there's a reason for that. you honestly believe that when they're trying to save somebody and they get upset because they can, they don't think that they can do it, that they're genuinely upset because this is who, this is the person that they are. They just do a really good job with that, conveying all that information. And I'm really enjoying it. So Supergirl, go check that out. Again, season one is available streaming somewhere. There's a lot of streaming stuff going on and I can't keep up with all of it because, well, right now I'm able to watch this stuff on regular TV. So, and my list is not, this is my DVR list. This does not include shows that are on Netflix or Amazon Prime, or I don't have Hulu, but there are other shows on Hulu that are science fiction oriented. Well, the last show, and this is one that you could debate, but see, that's why when I say Sci-Fi Dig is also about comics. Comics is a medium. In that medium, there's many genres. And because I cover the medium of comics, that means I can pull in all these other shows that aren't like sci-fi related. So my last show is Riverdale, which is really bizarre and really quirky and really, really different than what you expect. This isn't the comedy, slapsticky, goofy Archie. This is very much like Twin Peaks in a lot of different ways. And there's a murder mystery, and the characters can be, some are likable, some are not likable. Some that should be likable aren't so likable. I'm really enjoying this show, and I don't even know why. I was anxious for it to come on. I wanted to check it out. And it's from the trailers that I saw, this is exactly what I thought it was going to be. But I am really, I'm really digging what they're doing. It's enjoyable. And again, and this is not so much a light and fluffy show because you have to pay attention because every episode lands on a little bit of a cliffhanger. And you're like, man, what's going to happen next? It reminds me so much of Twin Peaks, and not for the, I mean, it has that quirkiness, but for the way that the each episode story is told. You know, we have a buildup, we have a resolution sort of, and then right at the end, they drop on their bomb. We're like, okay, well now I can't wait to see what's going to happen next time, you know? But I'm really interested in it. I'm really enjoying it. And again, you know, this is one of those shows that I like it. I enjoy it. If I never saw it, I wouldn't be too broke up about it, you know, if I missed an episode or something like that. But since it's on and, you know, I'm going to watch it because it's there. So 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, that's 15 shows. And so there's 7 days in the week. And so you can do the math there on, you know, we're watching like, more than two shows a day, which, man, that's a lot of TV, but there's a lot of good stuff out there. And, you know, I always laugh when I think about, like, back in the early 80s, you had, you know, like Battlestar Galactica and Buck Rogers and reruns of The Outer Limits and The Twilight Zone and The Incredible Hulk. And that was about it. And you know what? You loved every episode of that stuff, no matter how bad it was. You're like, nope, that's the best show. That was the best episode ever because we had no science fiction available to us. Now, we not only are we surrounded by it, but it's embraced everywhere and people are looking to make more of it. You have people out there that are making podcasts that are commercially, you know, advertised. And whether these people are geeks or not, there's a couple of them I'm thinking of. They do a good job of pretending like they are and making a lot of money off of this sort of thing and making a career. Remember, they're making a lot of money or not, they're making a living at it, you know? And it is around us everywhere. We have conventions, we have, I mean, just all this different stuff. And it's hard to pick through it all and see what's out there. And then you, on top of all of that, you have all these streaming services with their original content and with content we haven't seen on TV in ages, stuff that people have, you haven't been able to get on DVD or is too expensive and people don't want to buy it. And they're able to just say, you know what, I might not go buy a season of, you know, Deep Space Nine, but I'll stream an episode and then get hooked all over again, you know, or for the first time on it, you know, giving this stuff a chance. I mean, one of my things that I like to do, I listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of audiobooks, and I listen to a lot of audio in general because it's the one thing I can do when I run. It's the one thing I can do at work. And, you know, one of the things that I have been enjoying doing is finding podcasts with much younger hosts in their 20s and 30s who are reviewing films that and television shows that I grew up with and that, like, all my friends my age have grown up. This is what kind of formed our basis of our love of science fiction and fantasy and horror and things like that. And these people have never seen these before. And it's like the first time that they're coming to this. And they're like, wow, you know, this is, you know, this is, you know, there's things that I think are amazing that I've seen that they're not liking, but they're coming from a different, you know, time frame. They're younger generation. They've had all this CGI, all this other stuff going on. And that was one of the things, you know, years ago when I sat down with my daughter and I picked out some select movies for us to watch together. And I said, I want us to watch these. I want to know what your opinions are on them because you have seen all this new stuff. You have seen, you know, like, for example, like the Terminator. The time I saw a Terminator, that was the first time something like that had been done in a movie where you were going to go back and kill the person who gave birth to your nemesis, you know. And even though this has been done a bunch of times now, at the time, that was still kind of fairly new. And it was such a – it went up to such a broad audience that it was kind of a unique idea in that aspect. People had – even though it had been around, people had never seen that before. And so now you go back and you watch it. Is that a great movie? For me, it was groundbreaking. For me, it's always going to be, you know, a 5-star film for that simple thing that happened. But for people who have seen a dozen other films, is it even on the same register? Even though, you know, it was one of the biggest, I don't want to say it was the first, but it was the first in wide release like that that really, really grabbed people. So it's kind of interesting to see what they think of these things, you know, and it also gives me a chance to look back and say, yeah, you know, this movie that I absolutely positively love, really, if I was going to watch it today with a fresh set of eyes, never seeing it, would I give it 5 stars? No, I might only give it 2. I might only give it 3. You know, it depends on the film and what's going on. And that's what it's kind of the thing I enjoy now when I try to mix up my, I listen to a lot of comic book podcasts, but I listen to a lot of history podcasts, but I also search around, try to find stuff that, people might be talking about that has like a younger crowd and get their thoughts and opinions on it. Cause I find it, the whole thing rather fascinating. Anyway, I actually have another topic here and I thought I was going to need it, but apparently just giving a little synopsis of these, TV shows has done it. That's pretty cool. Any questions or thoughts, scifidig@gmail.com, or you can jump onto Google Groups. There's a link now on the Sci-Fi Dig webpage, and it's kind of in place of the forums. Also, the Facebook page, it is a viable alternative. I'll get around to it eventually. If you want a more direct response, either email me or hit me up on Messenger, because I'm going to see that long before I see the Facebook page or the Google group, which also comes via email to me. Anybody who is interested in co-hosting, you know, I'll say again, the way that works is let me know you're interested. We're going to try for Mondays around 7, and everybody's welcome. If you're the co-host, I will let you pick the film. The only time that could become a problem is if I cannot find the film. I recently discovered that there are some films that are no longer in print, and that poses a problem. And you can't stream them, and you can't buy them digitally. So, but I have enough friends who have extensive collections that if they can't lend it to me, they can always, you know, they can. If they can't lend me the physical thing, they can lend me other means for me to see it. So there's that. And, you know, we can always work something out, but I seem to have any and all audio issues worked out. I had a few problems last week with trying to play the audio files, but I think I have all that hammered down. I got some new cables and did a couple worked around and experimented for about an hour. And I think I have everything, the way that I need it to be. So with that being said, scifidig@gmail.com is where you can find me, and any and all feedback is appreciated. I know that I'm horrible about feedback myself, but please, if the sound is good and everything sounds good, and you still like the solo shows, just hit, say, you know, like the show, everything was good, you know, all was well, whatever, you know, just let me know, send me a message, and let me know what's going on. But until next time, over and out. We'll be right back.